Good morning, folks. Glad to see you this morning. Want to thank you all. Yesterday, many of you came to the church work day, and we completed quite a few projects. The yard was cleaned up out back quite a bit. The nursery was cleaned up. Toys were sterilized. Some old stuff that was worn out and really no good got thrown away, and some storage rooms got moved around a little bit, and the auditorium was sort of gone over with a fine-tooth comb. All the cushions were vacuumed. A lot of big jobs were done. But, you know, some people said, we had a work day yesterday. So if you missed it yesterday and you really want to work, you can come, and I still have a few projects that need to be done. The church van needs to be vacuumed out and sort of detailed on the inside, a vacuum and maybe dusted with Armor All or whatever they call it. That'd be a great project. The bus, a couple of you get together, you can get a broom or a vacuum or a blower, whatever you want to do, and sort of clean it out, and then get a bucket with some hot soapy water and just wipe all the seats down. Or some bleach water, whatever you want to do, and just sort of give it a nice once-over. Those are two projects we did not get done yesterday. If neither one of those sort of, I'm not interested in one of those, come to me. I really do have other things that you could do. And we have a list. I don't know if the list was taken down or if we crossed off what got done or not, but we're just glad for those that were able to come yesterday, and there's still lots of stuff to do. Before I forget, too, I do see a number of newer faces or faces I haven't seen in a while. In the pews in front of you, there's little cards, and they're sort of a information card or a welcome card. Just put your name and phone number on there, and we can have a record of your visit with us today. And we're not going to do anything weird. We'll just call you and say thanks for coming and ask you if you have any questions. A couple announcements just to mention and a couple prayer requests. Mark Michael, he's been coming here for quite a while now. He's actually moving up north to his sister's in Cadillac. So pray for Mark as he makes the move, and just pray. I know one of the things him and I have been talking about is he wants to find a good church up there. So just pray that he's able to find that. And he's enjoyed coming here, and he just wants another experience like that up north. So pray for Mark. Also, I received a call yesterday from Earl and Dot Bevin's daughter. Dot is going into hospice. So some of you remember Earl and Dot. So pray for them. They're at an assisted living place over in Ortonville. And I have that address if you would like to stop in and see them. I'm going to try to go there this afternoon and say hi to them and see if they have any questions. Another one is Rajan, Connie's, Ignis's granddaughter. She's having surgery tomorrow. You can pray for her. You can also pray for the choir. They would like to get some choir practices going. One of the things they need, sort of the holdup, is a piano player that's willing to come out and practice consistently. If you have any questions regarding that, or maybe you have a friend or a relative that is looking to use that gift, you can speak to Ed Jokinen. Wave your hand, Ed. He's over there waving his hand. So pray for them. Also, Mike Campbell's son, Mike's sitting right next to Ed. Chris has been having some medical issues. So if you think of that, you can pray for Chris. The last thing, two more announcements to mention. Tonight at 5 is a quarterly business meeting. So pray for that. I'm looking right at Denny, too. That's another prayer request. Just to praise, really. His wife, Shelby, is getting the treatment that she's probably needed for a long time. And she's in process of that, and the Lord worked to get that to happen. So we're just thankful for that. But where was I at? Quarterly business meeting. Tonight at 5, if you're a member, we'd love to have you come out. There's a couple things that the deacons are going to be recommendations to vote on. We don't have any numbers out yet because there was a couple numbers we were still waiting on, but it is to spend some money on doing some updates and repairs around the church, and the deacons just wanted to, and myself as well, wanted the church to know about that and be able to vote on that. So come tonight and be involved in that discussion and that decision, really. Also, a couple years ago, was a really sad event at our church, and we lost Dave Russell. and continue to pray for Anne. But one of the things that Anne wanted to do with the memorial money that was given was get a video system. And we were actually able to record it, and it's been a couple years that we've been up trying to get all this running, and we're very close to actually recording the sermons and putting them on the internet. So if you're gone on vacation or you go down south for the winter, instead of just listening to the sermons, you'll be able to actually watch a video of the church service. And there's going to be some other things, and hopefully someday we'll be able to actually have live streaming. So if you're home and not feeling well at 11 o'clock, you can hop on the internet and sit there and actually watch the sermon live in progress. And that was one of the things that was done in the memory of Dave Russell. So we just wanted you folks to know that, that what's going on, and just keep you updated. And just hopefully we'll be able to get all them last little bugs out of the system, and it will work. And pray for Caleb as he's getting a few gray hairs because of that. But he's young enough. You don't have any gray hairs yet. But there's probably some other things that I'm missing. Make sure you look at your bulletin, read it over. And if you have any questions, you can certainly talk to me after the service, or just start talking to random people, asking them questions, and eventually you'll find somebody that knows the answer. But we are so glad you are here this morning, and let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we do thank you for listening to us. And Lord, it's not like you're needing us to pray. You want us to pray. And you want us to come to you, and Father, we're thankful for that great privilege. Lord, we lift up some of these folks to you. We pray for Mark as he's moving away. Just give him safety in the travels, and help him to find a job up there. Help him to find a good church that he can start going to. We pray for the Bevins family, specifically Dot, with this medical issue she's having. And we just pray for the rest of the family that you would comfort them at this time. Lord, we lift up Rayjean and the surgery procedures that she's having tomorrow, that would be successful, that would be more or less the remedy to all her issues, Father. Lord, we do also lift up Shelby and others, and Rainey, and we're just thankful that they were able to start having these procedures and get some results, and Lord, that's very praiseworthy, and we thank you for that. And Father, we also lift up Chris Campbell and these medical things he's been having, that you would just guide and direct the doctors there, and just give him wisdom as he tries to make some lifestyle changes as well. And Father, we think of others that need some help, that I'm just, you know every little detail. Father, I've been told about unspoken requests. Lord, you know. And I would ask you to work, provide comfort where necessary, provide help where necessary. Lord, watch over our church service this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're here today to worship you, our majesty, Lord. You are the one above all others. God, and I thank you for sending your son to die on the cross to save sinners like us. And God, I ask that you would be with our pastor today as he brings the message, that if there's one lost soul here, that they would be saved before they walk out the doors today. And God, I just thank you for everything that you do for me. Thank you for this opportunity. Now be with the rest of this service. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Last week's sermon was 5 pages. Today it's only 4. I got a thumbs up from somebody. There are some things that basically all of us have in common. One of them is we all know where we were on 9/11. I was just talking about that yesterday. We all can recount the stories. We know all the details. I can even remember basically people's reactions and their looks on their faces as they talk to me. And some of you are a little bit older. You remember where you were and what you did on Pearl Harbor. Should I ask for a raise of hands? Do you remember? I won't embarrass you like that. And some of you are even older than that, like Jack remembers when Lee surrendered to Grant. He was there that day. Appomattox. You know, a lot of us, there's those significant days where we just remember and what happened. We all have that in common. You know, someday we might do that, just share testimonies of what the Lord was teaching us on or after 9/11 or whatever. But another thing we have in common is sin. We all sin. We all fall short of God's glory. We all fall short of God's expectation. But hopefully, we also have in common salvation from sin. However, even if we are saved from sin, that doesn't make it go away. That sin's still there. We still struggle with it. In fact, many times, it seems like there's maybe one or two sins that are just constantly nagging at us. It seems like we're confessing them over and over again, like it's that same old thing. But one thing I want to encourage you with this morning is, if that's you, if you have a sin that just besets you, that's constantly trapping you, you're not alone. You're not alone. All of us in here at one time or another have had something that was nagging at us, that was grinding at us, that was just not letting go easily. But there's more. According to the verses we're about to read this morning, that sin that you're struggling with, you can let it go. You can toss it aside. You see, it really wouldn't be encouraging to hear that we all have sins that are constantly tripping us up if there's no way that we could cast it aside. But we can cast it aside as we look to Jesus. That's going to be the key. We're going to see that this morning. That is the key. Looking to Jesus. And if you have a sin that's entangling you or trapping you, what you need to do is look to Jesus. Let's read the verse. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." There's several ways to go about discussing this passage. One of them is to concentrate on this idea of the cloud of witnesses. Do you see that in verse 1? This phrase, cloud of witnesses. Over the years, many pastors have talked about it. Many people have commented about it. Some folks think that this means that the dead believers are up in heaven looking down on us. Ever hear that suggested? Ever hear that idea presented? You can be honest. Pastor John raised his hand. Yeah. Okay, you can be honest. I put that in there. Raise your hand if you've ever heard that at a funeral, something like that. Oh, you know, George is up there looking down on us, and he's watching over us. You know, he'll always be up there watching. I'll be honest with you, okay? I'm not sure that this means that at all, okay? If it does mean that, there would probably be some other supporting verses that in the Bible that would also support that, and I really don't see that. What I think the cloud of witnesses is, they're not witnessing us and our actions, they're witnesses to faith. Those who have gone before us are testifying or witnessing to the greatness of faith. They're up in heaven, and they can tell us without a doubt that running the race is worth it. That's what they're there to witness and to testify to. The witnesses are telling us that faith in Jesus Christ, that looking at Jesus, is valuable. Another way we could go about talking about this passage is to talk about the race. Do you see that there? Running the race. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with endurance. You know, if there's a race, that implies that there our opponents, right? That's the implication here. There's an opponent. Now, it could be the devil, could be the world, could be your own flesh. But the idea that the writer is expressing that you need to run in such a way that you win the prize. Running the race is about doing all you can do to win for Christ's sake. This is our first application for the morning. The life we live here, and please understand this, the life we live needs to be strategic. Our Christian life should never be aimless. Our Christian life should never be meaningless. We need to have a goal. We need to have a purpose in view. Now, that's true for us as individuals, but that's also true for us as a church. As a body, we need to pursue a goal. We need to pursue a prize. And we better be motivated because we are in a race. The Christian life is a race. And it takes great effort. Now, it's a race that we have our entire Christian lives, right? It starts when we become a believer, and it doesn't end until your body dies. We need to get this, folks. You cannot stand still. You cannot crawl. You cannot even jog. We must run the race with endurance. This means even if we're tired. This even means if we're injured. This even means if we're distracted, we got something going on over here. We still need to be running. We must do whatever it takes to be focused on the prize. The writer of Hebrews says to run and run hard all your life. Don't start off strong and then fizzle out. Or some people, when they get involved in athletics, what do? They cheat. They try to bend the rules a little bit. Don't break the rules, but go after that prize. Now, we could talk a whole sermon. I could go on, and I've only taken about 2 minutes on that. We could talk about the witnesses. We could talk about the race. But what I want to concentrate on this morning is the weight. See that there? Talks about the weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Or the older version says, besets us. Some of you may even have a version that say it entangles us. The easiest way that I could think of was just to say it traps. Okay? Now, there's two things here that are listed. It says the weight and it says the sin. Let's just call this baggage. There's useless weight and there is sin. Now, it's interesting that the commentators and the preachers, they disagree here a little bit. Some think that the weight and the sin are two totally separate things. Some people say, well, the weight is simply describing something that isn't necessarily a sin, but it occupies so much of your time that it can distract you from running the race or somehow slow you down, and you need to cast that aside. I'll be honest with you, that explanation doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because if there's something in your life that you're so absorbed into that it's distracting you, then chances are it's become very important to you. And if it's very important to you, chances are that you're looking at it more than you are at Jesus. And if you're looking at something other than Jesus, that means one thing. That thing might be your idol. And if that's your idol, that's your God. You see what I mean, folks? If you have a priority and something other, and maybe it's a few other things ahead of Jesus Christ, that's not weight, that's sin. What the preachers are trying to say is that some things aren't necessarily bad, and I get what they're saying. Like Facebook, not necessarily bad. Or what about like eating? Eating's not necessarily bad, but there's some things that can suck your time so much. There's some things that can just, your mind can be consumed by it and it can draw your attention. One pastor even mentioned the ownership of unnecessary property, which cannot possibly be managed for God's glory. Can you own so much stuff that it's just too much to be managed for God's glory properly? I think that's a great application. My problem isn't with their applications. Those are great things. My problem is that when something, whatever it is, even if it isn't bad, if it's so drawn your attention that you're distracted in this race that God has set before you, I don't think necessarily that it's just some useless weight. I think it's sin. So I don't think weight and sin are to be understood as two separate things. I think they're the same thing. Weight is the overall idea, and then sin is simply defining what that weight is. All of it's a sin. If it's gotten to the point where it's distracting you from your race with Jesus Christ, it's not a weight anymore. It's sin. And even the good things can become sin if we allow it to trip us up. One of the greatest things we love to do here in the United States of America is watch sports. It's sort of our pastime. We just love to go watch sports. And yesterday was a huge sports day in the state of Michigan. How many watched the Michigan-Michigan State game yesterday? A few of you, yeah, a lot of you. I didn't watch it, but I heard part of it on the radio. And when I was in the vehicle and turned it on, the announcer started saying, oh yeah, Michigan's ahead 23-21, and there's only 10 seconds left on the clock, and all they got to do is, you know, hike the ball back and punt it out, and then the announcer starts just going frantic. I couldn't even hardly understand him. He said, what? And he started going crazy. I finally understood what happened. The announcer said they were in shock. It was unbelievable what happened. And it took them a few minutes to get over that shock before they could actually tell me. I couldn't see it. I needed them to tell me. Now, most of the time, I would have been watching a game like that. But my wife's van, it kept making this noise. It kept rattling. And the noise just was getting worse and worse and worse. I thought it was coming from the driver's side wheel bearing. So I bought it, replaced it, noise still there. Guy at the auto parts store said, well, it could have been that CV shaft. So I got that, put that in, still there. So we're leaving tomorrow to go to someplace. So I had to get this van fixed. So I went and changed the CV shaft, and Neil was helping me, thank the Lord, and he said, well, I think it's the wheel bearing. So everything's brand new on the front of the van. But you know, when I pulled out, there was no more noise. But you know what that meant? It meant I missed the game. I couldn't watch the game, okay? Now, what if I ignored that noise from the van and watch the game all afternoon? What if I allowed the game to distract me from my duty as the head of the home and taking care of my family? Now, to me, that would have been a sin. Well, Pastor Josh, football's not bad. Of course it's not bad. But if it was my priority, now, especially if that went above Jesus Christ, then it would be a lot more than useless weight, right? It would clearly be a sin. Now, even the good things can become sin if we allow them to weigh us down. And we don't want that weight in this race of faith. That should be obvious. Isn't that obvious? What do the best marathon runners look like? Skinny. They're skinny and they're from Kenya, okay? These little tiny Kenyans just running 26 miles. You wouldn't see some big, strong, muscular bodybuilder out there. They'd run out of gas. You don't see some kind of heavyset offensive lineman, even though they're in great shape, right? But they're good for power and for short stretches. But our life isn't just a short stretch, is it? It's a marathon. You can't have any extra weight. If those marathon runners had any at all extra weight, they wouldn't last. And the metaphor in these verses is obvious. Anything that you're holding on to, ditch it. Some of those old westerns, you know, they're going across country and somebody, the cowboy that's going to save the wagon train full of naive Easterners, he says, hey, he starts just going in the wagon. Have you seen that one before? They just start throwing stuff out. You don't need that. You don't need that. Toss it aside. Move forward lighter on your feet. Because if you don't, it will trap you. That sin, that weight, it'll hold you down. It'll hold you back. It will hold this church down. Because sin is a threat. In any form, sin is a threat. Even a small thing. Because those small things can turn into big things pretty quickly. One of the things I was reading was that Hebrews was probably written to an established church. And we'd all agree this church here, First Baptist of Fenton, is an established church. But this Hebrews, they were losing their focus. The man that wrote this article about Hebrews, he laid out several verses from the book which sort of established his argument, and he insinuated that the church, the Hebrews church, was originally, the book was written, and they were excited about serving God. They were excited about reaching out to the world, but eventually they just became apathetic. When it came to saving souls, there was no energy. There's no real vibrancy or life to speak of. This guy that wrote the article said that the people in this Hebrews church were spiritually lazy. Now, I wrote down in my notes that they weren't lazy. They were just negligent. Ever notice how people try to blame the wrong thing? Well, my pants are too tight. Must have been that sucking helping a cake. Really? I don't think it was today's cake that made your pants tight, okay? We often blame the wrong thing. Well, I've been spiritually lazy lately. Lately? Brother, you're not spiritually lazy. You're just spiritually negligent. Because you're never supposed to stop. You're never supposed to slow down in this race of faith. You're never supposed to stop focusing on the prize. Always be looking at the Savior, Jesus Christ. Always look at the Savior. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, friends. And if you're not doing that, don't pass it off as some temporary season of laziness, because it's plain negligence. Admit it. It's your fault. Well, I want to give someone else a chance to serve in church, so I'm just going to sit at home. Well, let them have a chance. But that doesn't mean you should take a break. There's other things that you can do for Jesus. Let's just come out and say it. We got 10 minutes left. Let's just ask. Why are you spiritually lazy? I'm not talking about the entire church. I'm trying to make it specific to individuals here. If that's you, why? Folks, is age an excuse? I'm going to retire. Sure, you might not be able to get up on the roof and change the roof of the homeless shelter when you're 87 years old, but you know you can pray for the folks that are. Age is an excuse, because you're always going to be running that race. What about persecution, folks? Is that an excuse? Well, I'm not running the race like I should because I'm being bullied. Should we shed a tear for that Christian who's being bullied? You know what? I don't buy into persecution holding you back in your race, because historically, when Christians are under real persecution, like being jailed, beaten, tortured, and killed, they don't slow down in the race. In fact, they push harder. They run harder. And in those times of intense persecution, it seems like the size of the church historically would explode. It seems like people would get more spiritual. So persecution isn't an excuse. Age isn't an excuse. The author of Hebrews points to one thing. He says it's sin. He says it's sin that will cause us to stroll through our Christian life instead of run. But pastor, it's not my sin. It's just, that's my personality. It's how I was raised. It's how I'm wired. I'm just a laid-back kind of guy. I just like to chill out, okay? It doesn't matter. God says run. So please this morning, consider the weight you are carrying. Please examine those innocent things. Are they beginning to entangle you? Now, I want to make this really real this morning. I don't know if you have a scrap of paper in your Bible, a piece of bulletin, or maybe you want to write it on a back page in your Bible. Maybe, seriously, make this real. Get out a piece of paper and write anything down that might be holding you back. Yeah, it could be computer games. Could be your phone. We don't mention those much. What do we mention? Alcohol, smoking, drugs. I look around this crowd. I doubt many of you are involved in any of those things, but maybe it's something else. TV, food, gambling, laziness. Maybe it's books. Maybe it's anger, pride. Maybe it's something on the internet. Write it down, whatever it is, and then pray. Pray about that. Look to Jesus for your help. After you write it down, after you pray, I want you to make a plan. Plan on resisting the sin and breaking the habit. But Josh, it's just too deeply ingrained into my life. It's got too much a hold of me. It's just part of me. Well, then why was this verse written? What was the point of this verse? If something can be so ingrained to your life that you can't cast it aside, if there's some sin that can entangle a person so badly that they can't get out of it, why did God bother to tell us to lay it aside? Does that make sense? Lay aside something that's impossible to lay aside? No, because it is possible. It's possible to cast it away. Now, it won't be easy, right? But lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Isn't this tough to talk about? We often come to a verse like this and we read the part about running with patience. That's fun. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Then we fast forward to the part about sin, right? We fast forward over that. And then we get to the part about Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We always want to fast forward through the sin parts. We want to ignore our own sins. This morning, I'm just God's telling us, we cannot do that anymore. We need to go deeper in our walk with the Lord right now, today. It's more important than ever that we go deeper with the Lord. You know, I think we're in an unprecedented time in our country. Immorality is everywhere. And it's not just everywhere, it's actually celebrated. In fact, it seems that if you're not involved with or supporting something immoral, you're actually looked down upon. There's corruption everywhere in our country. If people are powerful enough, they can do and get away with whatever they want to. You look around and common sense has just been thrown out the window. And friends, I think things will only get worse. especially for born-again believers. You know, I hate to be all doom and gloom, but at this point, there's no question of if. The question is when. It's only a matter of time before righteous Christian beliefs are marginalized and eventually punished. The other day, there was an interview. Some lady interviewed the highest ranking official in our land, and he implied that Christians are holding the nation back. You can look this up and read the entire interview yourself. Apparently, to him, being a good Christian is giving in, giving up everything you hold dear, and in no way defending yourself or standing your ground. That's from the top leader in our country, folks. So times will get tougher. What will you do? How will you cope? Well, the verse tells us, by running the race of faith and kicking aside that sin that's holding you back. That sin, it'll only dishonor the name of Jesus Christ, so cast it aside. Any unnecessary weight you're carrying, lay it aside. Let's do it. Are you godly? We're almost done. It's a simple question, really. Are you godly? I don't care if you're talented and working in ministry. This verse is asking, are you godly? Are you laying aside those sins? And if you're not laying aside those sins will destroy you. Friends, I'm not asking if you're spotless. I already know that answer. Right? Just trying to be straightforward. I'm just trying to be totally transparent with you, with my thoughts and the Word of God and how they come together. Just be honest with yourself. Some of you have figured out all the right things to say. You sort of play the church and the Christian game well. But there's some secret sin in your life. You know nothing of the Holy Spirit's leading because everything you do is by you, for you, and because of you. You see, we're in a race. And it's not easy. Now, when you read that book, that verse, what does it say? It says, the race that has been set before you. We all have a specific race that is set before us, so we better be looking at Jesus. You better be so close to him in that as you're running that almost you can just reach out and touch him. Fix your eyes on him. Get your eyes off you. Get your eyes off that sin and get your eyes on him. Get rid of the distractions, whatever it may be. Anger, lust, whatever it might be, think about specifics. What is that besetting sin that's dragging you down? Will you heed God's word today? Will you follow the Spirit's direction? Will you throw off that weight? Will you put that sin to death and run with endurance the race that is set before us? Or do you think I'm talking to somebody else? If you think I'm talking to somebody else, that gives you a reason to continue in your sinfulness. I'm going to have an invitation this morning. A little bit unique compared to what I usually do. Some of the different evangelists and missionaries and speakers, they sort of get away with these more elaborate invitations, but I think we need to do something this morning. If the Word of God has struck a nerve, particularly this idea of the weight or a sin, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand up right where you are in your seat. Admit it in front of everyone. If you've got a sin or an issue that's weighing you down or holding you back, now to stand and admit you have a sin doesn't mean you're confessing some weird off-the-wall thing and now we got to avoid you. You could be standing admitting pride or guilt or jealousy or worry. Now, I'll stand before you and admit. I'm standing up. I'll admit what mine is. I'll tell you right what it is. I've been lazy lately. You know, the sun doesn't up in the morning when you get up. I keep hitting that snooze button. I stick my arm out from under the covers, and it's cold. I put it back. I just don't want to get up in the morning. I have to get over that. I just stepped up, kind of went out on a limb, confessed a weight. That's scary because some of you folks could go overboard with that information. Your minds could get carried away. Well, what does that mean? Has he not been coming into work? And you're going to start calling deacons and trying to find out all kinds of stuff. The same is true with any of you that have stood up. We don't use the fact that we have a sin against each other. We need to be happy for our friends and our family that they had the guts to admit and confess their sin. So what I'm going to ask you to do right now is everybody else can stand up. And if you're near someone that has stood up, I want you to lay your hand on them. We're going to pray for each other this morning. We're going to pray that we would be able to forsake that sin and lay it aside. Let's pray. I just pray for all of us. Father, there's some of us that were willing to admit we had some sins that we're carrying around, some weight, some extra baggage that we don't need. We need to confess it and forsake it. Lord, help us to find victory even this week. Lord, who knows what they are? But Father, you know, and your Spirit's been working through your word this morning. And I would pray that we would just be renewed, that we would have life and strength and just vitality as we're running this race. Lord, help us to get up tomorrow and just look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, I pray that as a church, we wouldn't have any baggage that we're carrying around. But we do, Father, admit that it starts with each individual believer here. Lord, help us to get things together in our own hearts so that we can have things together in your body, so that we can serve and love this community in great ways. In Jesus' name, amen.